Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And joining us right now on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline is Neil Greenberg, writer for the Washington Post, Fancy Stats blog, also co-host Crashing the Net with Tom Daly. The only hockey show in the D.C. area, which you can listen to right here on 106.7 The Fan. What's up, Neil?
Good morning, guys.
Hello.
How's it going?
Neil?
It's going okay. As you sleep on the game now, has any of your sort of thoughts on the game changed, or do you feel sort of the same way this morning as you did last night?
Well, pretty much the same. I mean, this was, I wouldn't call last night's game indicative of either team's talent levels. There was a lot of fluky things that happened, a lot of dumb penalties taken, a lot of crazy fluky goals that we probably won't see again. A win's a win, and right now Vegas is in the driver's seat in terms of having a 1-0 series lead. I do think Washington has to tighten up their game, because if they play another game like they did last night, this is going to be a pretty short series.
Mm-hmm. And that is, they obviously have to clear the puck better, have to get some better goaltending play. What else?
Everything. I mean, everything has to be better. You look at the turnovers they had in the neutral zone. You look at the crazy Keystone Cops adventures they had in front of Holpe's net. Holpe's flailing around in the crease like he's a fish taken out of water for the first time. I mean, there's just so many different things that were less than ideal last night. It's the Stanley Cup Finals. You gotta hunker down. Maybe their emotions got the better of them. I'm not really sure. But that wasn't a good game. It wasn't a good game by either team. It especially wasn't a good game by Washington.
Kind of a sloppy game, yeah, I would agree. But you're right. I mean, that atmosphere must have been great for them. Maybe they were a little overhyped, overamped. Maybe the layoff hurt them a little bit. They looked a little sluggish, I thought, there in the first period. And then, of course, look, we have to talk about the no call on Reeves with Carlson. I mean, I don't know how they miss it. I mean, that was just a critical point in the game, and I hope they tighten that up.
Yeah, and there's a lot of, I mean, you can point to a lot of different things like that, I think, but the cross-check by Reeves right in front of the crease, right in front of the referee, leads to the goal, no whistle, no nothing. I mean, obviously a turning point, and I think that also sets the tone for the game a little bit, because there was a couple of cheap shots, I felt like, from the Golden Knights. And, you know, Washington had a couple as well. But I think that sets the tone. You see that, and then you think that you can start to take liberties because the refs aren't going to call it. But you know that it's not the guy that throws the first punch. It's the guy that throws the second punch that always gets called and always gets whistled. So you got to be careful of that. But I agree that no call on Reeves was pretty blatant and pretty embarrassing.
Neil, I'm not going to lead the witness here. What is your analysis on the Wilson hit on Marchessault, and do you think he gets suspended?
I don't. I think it was a stupid hit. I don't think that there really was a need for it, but I don't think that that's the type of hit that they're going to suspend him for in the NHL. I mean, it was shoulder to shoulder, knocked him to the ground. I think, you know, the fact that he didn't have the puck obviously is what makes it a bonehead play. But I don't think that he was targeting his head. I don't think that he was trying to hurt him necessarily. I think it'd be pretty difficult, unless you're basing it on Tom Wilson's reputation alone, and now you feel like every time he takes liberties with a player, it's with some intent to really hurt them. I think we've heard the last of that.
So what about some of the positives from this game? You know, they got four goals on Fleury. All right, so that's certainly a positive. I mean, Oshie had a couple beautiful passes there in front of the net, those centering passes. But what are some of the positives that the Caps can take away here?
Well, Washington certainly didn't give up. I mean, they had a flurry of shots towards the end. They were doing some really good things in the offensive zone. I mean, they were doing great things in the offensive zone before Burakovsky took that penalty that led to the power play goal against. I mean, I don't think that Washington offensively was playing a bad game by any stretch. I thought they looked very, very good. It was the turnovers in the neutral zone that really cost them and some of the defensive play. But I think, I think that this is the line combinations that Barry Trotz can rely on. I think the defense did relatively well, considering it was the fourth line that beat them, not necessarily the top line or the top two lines. I wrote earlier before the series that I felt like Washington had better depth. I know that we saw some goals from the fourth line from Vegas, but Brett Connolly had a great goal. John Carlson chipped in with a goal. So I think with the top line of Washington relatively MIA, you saw a lot of bright points in terms of getting secondary and even tertiary scoring. They just have to tighten up a little bit. I don't think anyone should be in panic mode over this game. I mean, they lost a fluky one. But, I think they have the offense to take care of Vegas. They have the defense to certainly take care of Vegas. And they have the goaltending that can play as good, if not better, as Marc-Andre Fleury. So I don't think we're in panic mode by any stretch.
Talking to Neil Greenberg from the Washington Post, also co-host Crashing the Net here on 106.7 The Fan. You get to goaltending. Some people have said they're disappointed in Holtby's play, that he's given up too many rebounds. What's your opinion there?
Oh, I agree. I mean, that was not his sharpest game by any stretch. That was actually the type of games that get him benched for Philip Grubauer. Not saying that that's what Barry Trotz is going to do, but, Braden Holtby looked lost in net at times. I mean, he was very far out of the crease. He was very extreme in going to one side to the other, opening up the net. It just didn't look good. And, he kind of got bailed out towards the end, too, I think, on that right before Vegas got that power play on that controversial hit, or I should say 4-on-4, that, they had that bouncing puck right behind Holtby and ended up hitting the crossbar and then bouncing out. I mean, there was just a lot of things. The Caps are lucky that the loss wasn't worse, quite frankly. But Holtby has to tighten up, because he's the reason, or at least part of the reason, that the Capitals have gotten as far as they've gotten. They're going to need him to play well and let Marc-Andre Fleury be the one that kind of comes undone in net. Because as we saw last night, he's beatable. He's probably not as good as we've been led to believe up until this point, even though he's been playing that good. But he's certainly beatable, and I think that Washington can do it.
Neil, does the ice surface being soft and slushy favor the Caps? Because we keep hearing that Vegas is this quicker team, quicker than the Caps are. So it's not going to change going into game two. I mean, it's still going to be 95 degrees, and there's still going to be 18,000 people in the building. I don't see the ice getting much better. Is that a slight advantage for the Caps?
It could be. I mean, I don't know why we're doing so much extracurricular activity on the ice when the ice is so bad. I mean, maybe not have a full feature film before they start to play with pyrotechnics and everything. I think that the speed issue is a little bit overblown. Yes, the Vegas Knights are certainly faster, but I don't think they're any more opportunistic in terms of getting odd man rushes and things like that. I know it may have looked like that last night, but that was I'm not sure that that's representative of the disparity between the two teams. But I think so I'm not necessarily sure it favors either of them, but it certainly would go a long way into slowing down Vegas through the neutral zone a little bit. Maybe that gives Washington a slight edge, but I don't really buy that Vegas has this tremendous edge in speed that it would swing it one way to the other.
Hmm. You mentioned our top line seemed to struggle, and Jason mentioned Ovechkin. I'm glad he mentioned this passing, because his passing is remarkable.
He's the most underrated passer in the NHL. I've been saying this for years.
Yeah.
And for some reason, people think that every time they see Ovechkin get an assist, it's like his first assist in the NHL. The dude can pass.
No.
The
dude has remarkable.
Court vision. He has vision on the ice. I mean, he may not be a flashy passer, like behind the legs or through the legs or anything like that, but he knows where his teammates are. He knows how to get the puck where it needs to be. Like I said, I think he's one of the most underrated passers in the NHL, and doesn't get nearly enough credit. I mean, I know he gets dinged for his defense, which isn't as bad as everyone thinks. I think a lot of people sleep on his ability to pass the puck.
No, he's remarkable at that, and I think he had another stellar game there. But I felt like, just from him, like from a shooting perspective and that sort of thing, he wasn't popping to me offensively that way. Why do you think that was?
Oh, I just think that Nate Schmidt was wearing him like a hat and just didn't let him do anything. I mean, that Nate Schmidt pairing was really good at neutralizing the entire Caps top line. I mean, Evgeny Kuznetsov didn't have a shot attempt or anything going into the third period and seemed to get a little bit of a fire under his butt. But Nate, you gotta credit Nate Schmidt for being able to shut that trio down. I mean, they were largely MIA for most of the game, and I want to say that top line total got maybe two or three shot attempts on net and really weren't getting much else done. Maybe that's something home ice that Gallant gets to put his guys out there, get the matchup that he wants. But Barry Trotz, that top line, is going to have to figure out a way to get past Nate Schmidt in terms of producing, because they're going to need them, obviously. It's all hands on deck in the Stanley Cup final.
What do you think about T-Mobile? Like, what is it about T-Mobile that is so advantageous for this team? Because now, I'm just looking at the number. I just calculated them. They're 7-1 in the playoffs at T-Mobile, and they won, they were 29-10-2 in the regular season. So they're 36, essentially 36-13 in that building. Now, I know it's a good team, but I just think that's just an outrageous advantage at that building. I don't get it.
Well, you're talking about like in the regular season too?
Yeah, combined.
Yeah, I mean, well, it's Vegas, right? So you're probably gonna have access to do things in Vegas that you don't normally have to do.
Right. The Vegas flu. Yeah, I've heard it. But
yeah, right. I really do think that that what they do pre-games and just how out of the norm it is. I think there's something to be said that it can take you out of your element, at least in the beginning of the game. And if Vegas is able to seize that type of advantage, then they can carry that advantage out. They're a very opportunistic team in terms of scoring very quickly when they get scored upon. They can score in bunches. They can take advantage of situations. But, I mean, look at what we saw last night. We saw Carrot Top. If that doesn't put you out of sorts in terms of, you know, you're not expecting it, I don't know what does. And I'm making light of it a little bit, but you know, you get into a hockey game, you have a certain rhythm, you're getting ready to go on the ice, and then it's some night shooting flaming arrows, and then it's, you know, some guy rappelling down the rafters, and then it's Michael Buffer,
right,
and then it's Little John, and then it's something else, and then it's this, and then finally you're playing hockey. I mean, it just seems like there's just a lot of different ways that can kind of tilt you off your game. That's my guess at this point, because I don't think that
any
barn is any better than any other.
Well, maybe
game two, I can turn the game on about 8:27 and
you're good,
dropping.
Yeah,
the puck.
It's like you got to sit through a whole episode of Game of Thrones before you even see any hockey played. I mean, I it's amazing.
Yeah.
But
that's got to be a little bit annoying to the opposing team.
Yeah,
that's
but overall, it didn't matter because the Caps had leads throughout the game, and they had a lead in the third period.
They did,
but they got off to a sluggish start too, right? I mean, it's just I'm not saying that home ice advantage. Look, the biggest thing for home ice advantage, obviously, is last change.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have a guy like Gallant who's very good at taking advantage of that, that can certainly tilt home ice in your favor. If you're able to get the matchups that you want, if you're able to dictate kind of how that part of the game flows, that's why you have last change. That's really the only tangible home ice advantage. But when you have it so extreme, either Gallant's a genius and is able to make those type of tactical decisions that very few other coaches can, or it's the environment. And I think it's probably a little bit of both, but I'd swing more towards the environment.
Yeah, I mean, JP, I'm not saying they can't take leads or even win there, but there's got to be something about that building. This is an expansion team. You know, this is a team that didn't play together last year, and they won 36 out of 49 there.
Yeah, it's significant, and you have to block out everything around you, because there's just so much overstimulation before the game, and then obviously the crowd during the game, that it's a tough barn to play in.
So what do you expect for tomorrow night? I expect their defense to be better. I think Holtby will be better. I would expect Ovi to come out a little bit hotter. You know, he didn't look like he was into the game there in the first 10 minutes or so. What was your take?
No, I agree. I think that they have to get off to a much stronger start. They have to tighten up almost every aspect of their play. I don't think we'll see a 6-6 game. My guess is that we'll see a 2-0, 3-2 type of game, something a little bit more low scoring. I do think Washington is capable of winning that game. I'm not ready to move off my prediction of Caps in six just yet. But I think that the game that we saw last night is going to be significantly different than the game we see tomorrow. And it really has to be if Washington's going to have a chance. They can't win that loosey-goosey style game because it's so unpredictable. Like, there's no you have no control over your destiny. They need to tighten down and really dictate the course of play.
Are you going to games 3 and 4?
No, I got to work. It's just filing on deadline for me. It's just easier to work from home, so I'll be watching. And plus, I got the NBA Finals that I cover too, so it's really hard for me to be out of the loop on everything for those games. But yeah, I'll be working from home. So you can still text me.
What do you think about? I will. What do you think about NBA Finals?
I mean, it's the Cavs and the Warriors again. The Warriors are huge favorites going into that first game. 11.5-point favorite. That's like that's Vegas pretty much saying that the Warriors have a 90% chance of winning that game. LeBron needs help. I mean, I know we say this every year, but I think that this year his supporting cast is the worst it's ever been. I mean, aside from a 40-point triple-double, maybe that gets him close enough to contend with this Warriors team. I don't know if Warriors can. I don't know if I'd ever say that LeBron's going to get swept, but you have to think that the Warriors will be able to walk through this finals and win another NBA title.
They beat them in 5 last year, and Cleveland had Kyrie Irving.
Yeah. I mean, it's I wrote about this during the playoffs that the Cavs missed Kyrie Irving way more than Boston did. I know that Cavs actually won only because LeBron James is a super freak. But they are really missing that secondary scoring, especially a guy that can get up in ISO and take advantage of man on man situations. If Cleveland, just like any team, has got to figure out a way to stop the Warriors in the third quarter. They're blowing teams out by like 40 points per 100 possessions in the third quarter alone, and they usually enter the third quarter with like a 5-point lead. So I don't know what the Cavs are going to do, but I'm going to watch it because I like watching train wrecks, and this is what we do in the NBA Finals.
I was going to say that. I mean, I'm a little bit biased because I'm a Caps fan, but the Stanley Cup playoffs so much more interesting than the NBA playoffs.
Yeah, they are, but I mean, I need to watch them obviously because I'm covering them, but yeah. I want to see. I'm really curious to see now, like how far can LeBron James will a team into the postseason, right? I mean, he's dragged his team with him into the NBA Finals, and now he's got to do it again. I don't see how the Cavs win, but I'm there to watch it to see just how much he can do on his own and how difficult he can make for Golden State as a one-man show.
Yeah.
All right, Neil. Thank you, buddy. Appreciate it.
All right, guys. I'll talk to you soon.
Yep. Thanks, Neil.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Matt Valdez, I'm laughing because during the commercial break, I went to the production studio, and Valdez said that Cakes was getting joned on a lot. I don't know.
Where?
I don't know.
Social media.
Where he saw
it. Where the joning's rampant.
Yeah. About what?
He wore some shorts.
His shorts.
I'm wearing the same shorts.
The ones he wore last night?
Stand up, Cakes.
Because they're definitely wrinkled.
Are you going to pull them down?
No, butt wrinkly.
If you look at the
picture. They're joning on the wrinkles?
I can't even tell. The wrinkles and the length.
It's the length.
What's wrong with the length?
The particular shot, if you look at it.
What's wrong? Okay, I got Cakes' back.
I see his hurting knees.
Well, yeah, come on.
They're too short or they're too long? Too short. They're XLs. What more can I do?
Let me see here. By the way, I just Googled John Allville on Facebook. There are other John Allvilles.
There are? Yeah. Not as silly as this John Allville.
Who knew? Who knew?
Where did you see the picture?
All right, there's a picture on Facebook. All right, they're like a smidge high.
Well, Cakes tweeted it.
The only reason Money Metal it looks Cakes. A little high is because the jersey's so big, I think.
It's just an XL jersey.
Are you not allowed to show knees anymore?
I don't know. I just I've I don't think I've ever seen Cakes' knees.
They're not like your hugger running shorts.
They're weird looking shorts.
Is it just the picture with his daughter?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
They actually don't look as bad.
Like, are they supposed to be khakis?
I wasn't even
definitely wrinkly.
I wasn't
butt wrinkly.
A little wrinkly. Who cares? He's a guy.
I wasn't concerned about the length of the shorts.
Guys, when
I saw the picture initially, I said, shorts are definitely wrinkled. Gonna get joned on.
Did you? You knew that.
As soon as I saw the pic, I said...
Did you know that they were going to say you had too much knee showing?
That part of it, I had no clue about.
I think they're right on the line.
I think Cakes, the length of them is fine.
Cakes loves the attention, too. He just loves it.
So I just retweeted on Junk's Radio.
Cakes, because you did it to yourself. You posted the photo.
It's true.
You did it to yourself.
He was just supporting his daughter.
Oh, if he was by himself, he would have posted it, too. He just likes the attention.
Oh, because I take so many pictures of myself by myself.
You love social media more than anybody.
I take so many selfies.
You're unbelievable.
He put a picture.
You put yourself out there.
He put a picture of he and his daughter, and they were going to enjoy the game together.
Didn't have to.
Yeah, he was showing his team spirit.
Hey, it's one of the few ways I can actually be social, because I'm not that social outside of social media.
I get it.
I'm kind of antisocial, actually.
Right.
You kind of are. Hey, but you came to my daughter's graduation party.
I did. It was a nice soiree.
There is a picture, though, of you. My wife pointed out where you're in the background.
Okay.
I think it's because the beard is so thick.
Yes.
Where you look, and I just showed it to Eric, because after Valdez pointed that out, it reminded me of what my wife said about this one picture. It's just kind of a shot of like four or five people gathering, talking, but you're kind of in the background looking.
Okay.
And you look a little serial killer-ish.
Well, what are you going to do? I have some growth on my face. A lot of the guys at the party just don't have beards.
Will that come
off
after the playoffs?
I mean, I'll bring it down a bit.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm never going to go beardless, totally beardless.
When's the last time you were totally beardless?
His wedding.
No, it's probably been within the past.
No, I think he shaves
like
periodically, but it lasts like a
years,
day.
But like the last 7 years or so, I've been just beard all the time.
Yeah,
but don't you shave it clean and then it just grows in the next day? That's what you do typically, right? Or no?
I mean, back in the day when I did that, sure. But
you
I don't
do that? You haven't done that in the last 5 years?
No.
You just trim it.
Trim it.
But trimming is
or
a
Jonathan
pain in the ass.
Trims it.
You get somebody to do it for you.
Sure. I enlist a professional to do it.
But right. I think, look, he grew up, your father had a beard his whole life.
Correct.
I remember him not having a beard.
Always.
Always had a beard. I think both of your brothers have beards.
Correct.
The Auville clan, they love beards.
It's an Auville family.
It looks good.
Trait slash
good on
tradition.
Now, beard, I think Ross had the thickest, right?
He had the thickest, most grisly.
Yeah.
Say right now, I didn't know that Eric, who's stepping
in big time beard.
His beard is coming in nice.
Right.
That's a big one.
Is that
it's
a playoff
day
beard?
For
Eric,
draft.
Is that a you know, playoff beard? Did you start that from scratch?
He's got a Jesus beard.
No, I didn't start it from scratch. I always have a nice trim beard, but I've been letting it go.
Right.
And I let it go for the playoffs, and now it's getting obnoxiously large.
Yeah.
Right.
And
unlike
Cakes, I don't trim my playoff
beard. You don't
beard.
Trim
yeah,
anything underneath?
Well, I shave the underneath
yeah,
the
that's
neck
fair.
Between series, but now that's...
Beard. Trust me, I felt guilty when I told Jonathan to just... rein it in a little bit.
What about Adam? Adam is growing his beard out too. He doesn't, you know, I didn't even think he could grow.
Yeah,
such
he's got a full Amish beard going
it's
on over
weird
there.
One.
It's embarrassing how
theirs
red it is.
Theirs is like growing more underneath and not like much under your lip.
And it's like mad curly. I hate it.
It's called that's the Andrew Luck that he's
are
rocking.
Are you doing
over
that?
There.
Is that a playoff bit too?
It's been a playoff bit, yeah.
Yeah.
It started with the Wizards, but now it's moved to the Cavs.
The Wizards.
Nobody
playoff beard. Shortest beard ever.
A playoff beard for the Wizards.
Nobody does that.
Nobody grows NBA playoff beards.
They stink. How was your weekend, by the way? Same as every other one? Terrible?
No, it was pretty good.
Yeah?
Yeah. I've been texting a stripper recently.
Oh,
that's my newest. Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Wait, did Fred Davis put you on her?
No, I went to Cloakroom. They opened up. The owner put me on, and I like started talking to this one girl. And
what do you mean put you on?
Like they put us in the VIP section. All the strippers came over and were sitting on, basically on our laps.
Right? Did you pay for a lap dance?
That's what strippers do.
Did you pay
like,
for a lap dance?
She doesn't really like you.
She doesn't say she like you. Stupid.
I think she likes me a lot.
Did you tell her you have a radio show and all that?
I didn't have to. All the guys I was with were, you know, all in her ear
more
about
importantly,
that.
More importantly, did you tell her you have no money to give her? Because that is going to make her leave quickly.
I wonder what it felt like grinding against felt.
Yeah.
I mean, I spent about $20. I got ones and then threw them and
but
watched
you didn't
her
do any
dance
lap
on another
dances.
Girl.
You threw them?
Yeah,
you're
I was so throwing cheesy. One.
Did the worst make it rain ever?
Yeah.
The only people that throw the money is when you have so much to go around that it doesn't matter.
What are the actual texts?
Well, we're gonna go out to dinner one day this week. That's the plan.
Really?
Yeah.
Taking a stripper to dinner.
she's probably awful.
Is she atrocious looking?
No, she's actually the hottest girl in the world.
Here, show me a pic.
There's no way the hottest girl in the world is gonna go out with you.
She's got to have something on social media. You know, he was
always finds. Yeah,
he was dating this one girl. Remember, he went to that. He had that date with that chick, and then he was with her all night. And they went on a walk. They had the wine, and everything, and then she said, "Nice doing business with you," and rolled out. Did you know that girl ended up doing porn?
What?
Yeah.
Yeah. She's basically a porno chick, and she couldn't score.
And she still won't let me get it.
Yeah. Porno chick.
How did you find that out?
Because all of a sudden she started posting all these like naked photos. And she says, check out my brand new adult film. Hmm. He was dating a porno chick and got rejected.
Well, he's about to get rejected by a stripper, too, sound of it.
Unbelievable.
I'd be shocked. First of all, I'd be shocked if she's good looking. Number two,
the stripper?
Yeah. Number two, I'd be shocked if she went
And it's
out
very
her.
Convenient that all of a sudden you just don't have a shocked picture
well,
of this
the only reason
beautiful
why,
girl in the world.
The only reason why she would go out with him is because she, A, thought he had some sort of juice, you know, but she doesn't, and B, had money, but she doesn't.
Yeah, can you put attention dollars in her G-string?
Yeah. As soon as she realizes he has no power and he has no money, he's done.
Right. I mean, all the guys I was with convinced her that I was some radio superstar.
Should she realize that already?
Right.
Why would she think I'm going to be able to give her shout-outs and stuff and get her on TV?
Right. It's false pretenses.
What is her ethnicity?
She's a silly blonde whitey.
Really?
Yeah.
A whitey? Caucasian. Whitey. That's her ethnicity? Yeah. She's silly blonde whitey?
She definitely checks Caucasian
so
on the boxes.
Well, you know, we haven't newspapered the glass in a long time.
It has been quite a while.
Get her to come in?
Yeah.
I could get her to come in, EB. I mean,
hey, why don't we have her do her routine and fire the ball cannon at her?
While she's doing it?
Yeah, while she's doing it.
I get
the problem is we have these dumb cameras in here now. I don't know how to get away from
it. Care to divulge her stripper name?
Avery.
Avery? Yeah. Sounds like a dude. Yeah.
No.
Doesn't
that
sound like
the
dude.
Dad from The Fresh Prince?
No, I got size. She had a silly belly, six-pack belly.
Really?
I get butt size.
You're going to get nowhere belly? Near that belly. You know that, right?
I mean, I think I have a chance with her. I mean, she was texting me all weekend.
My belly. He says this every time we talk about
What was she texting you?
Just read the last
text. Yeah, read the text.
I'll read the last text here.
It's always intriguing.
You believe a stripper's into him?
No.
No, I actually can't believe it.
Get in my belly!
She thinks he's going to make her famous or something.
Her name in my phone is Avery, the hottest stripper ever.
Right.
She told me to tell you guys that she's the most interesting stripper.
Right.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. Yeah. Shut up and dance.
Yeah.
She said, how'd the big shout-out go?
I said,
you know, I didn't get the right timing, so I guess we'll have to hang out so I have a story to tell. She says, oh, yeah, let's do it.
Right.
And I said, what are you doing tonight? And she said, I'm bloody working again.
Right.
She talks like Australian because she lived in Australia for a couple of years.
She talks Australian.
Is that Australian?
I said, are you going to any?
There's no such thing as Australian.
Go ahead.
I said, are you going to any barbecues for Memorial Day weekend? She said, no, I'm just hanging out with my mom. What about you?
My mom.
Please tell me you didn't do a terrible shrimp on the Barbie joke as a follow-up.
No, I sent her emojis of hot dogs and buns.
Oh, God.
And you think you're going to get there?
Text her you're going to show her your didgeridoo.
What?
We're giving her what she wanted, though, because she's getting the shout-out now, which is the only reason he's having conversations with her.
Yeah, well, if it gets him, you know, if it gets him there, it'd be worth it.
EB, I'll cut up this video and send it to her and say, hey, does this deserve a free lap dance or what?
Yeah. See if it works for you.
See what happens when a guest cancels on us.
This
it's
is what
he cancels on us. We booked a guy
at 5:30.
Dumbest move ever.
Vegas.
What are we doing?
Yeah.
Well, yeah,
I love Alan, but 5:20?
That's a big
Alan
ask.
Alan should have said, look, there's just no way I'm going to be
up. It's a big ask. Right. Just is.
He'll probably text you back in like an hour and say, yeah, I'm good.
What time did we book John Walton for?
9:20.
That's 6:20.
Yeah.
I mean, do we think John's going to be
an
up
off
for
day
that?
Today. Yeah. He might.
I want to stop on the Vegas guest.
Maybe he's an early riser. Who knows?
All right, boys. You mentioned it, JP, in the previous segment. Solo, A Star Wars Story, was number one at the box office, but over the three-day weekend just did $84 million. They were hoping it would get to over 100, but it was probably going to take that Monday, that extra day, to get there. They're saying, was it released too soon, 5 months after the last Star Wars movie, and was it simply the competition from Deadpool 2 and Avengers Infinity War that brought it down?
I think it's probably a combination of all of those factors.
Right. So it did $84 million. I'm not sure what the budget was for it. Did a per-screen average of about $19,000, which is really good. But Deadpool 2 did another $43 million. So far in 2 weeks, that's made $208 million. And Avengers Infinity War, still taking care of business cakes, that did $17 million, $622 million domestically.
That's crazy.
In just 5 weeks.
So that's going to make like $700 plus domestic and probably like $1.5 overseas, maybe $1 billion overseas. It's a $2 billion movie.
It's got to be. Let me see.
The budget for Solo, by the way, is $250 million.
The Infinity War international total, what was the budget?
The budget for Solo is $250 mil.
All right, so wow. They'll make that.
Yeah.
They'll make that easy. Internationally, Infinity War right now stands at almost $1.3 billion.
Oh, so it's hard.
It's already over a billion internationally.
It's crazy.
$1.3.
So it's already tickling $2 billion worldwide with the 600 plus here, and you said it's 1.3
okay,
overseas.
I don't even understand this. So explain this to me. It says internationally, Infinity War added $32 million for an international total. Okay. So the international total is 1.28 plus the $600 million is made here. So it's at 1.9 total.
Right.
1.9 total. Unbelievable.
That's why they keep cranking out those movies and give you those stupid trailers after the credits.
Yep.
For the next one. Although the next one, Cakes may watch it. I'm out. Ant-Man versus the Wasp.
I'm sure I'll probably see it.
You'll see it.
I'm sure I'll see it. I've seen them all. Why would I stop now?
That's what it's called, Ant-Man versus the Wasp.
Correct. Your buddy Paul Rudd is Ant-Man.
So that is my buddy.
He's your guy.
Met him in Atlantis about 10 years ago. Hanging out with him in the pool.
You did cannonballs with him.
Not quite. Nice guy, though.
Yeah. We talked about this last week, Morgan Freeman. He's been caught up in this movement here of multiple allegations of sexual harassment and inappropriate behavior. I think like maybe 8 women or something came out against him in the last week or so. He's 80 now, but he released a statement, of course, denying everything, saying, "I did not assault women." He says all victims of assault and harassment deserve to be heard, and we need to listen to them, but it's not right to equate horrific incidents of sexual assault with misplaced compliments or humor.
Haven't people seen his movies?
He was hollering, basically.
Haven't people seen his
movies? Isn't he telling chicks like she looks ripe?
Didn't people
he said that to a CNN interviewer.
Okay, is that sexual assault? I mean, it's inappropriate. It's rude.
I understand his point. She was pregnant, and he was basically saying, it looks like you're getting ready to pop.
It might not have been a great comment. It might not have been a good look. But if I were him, I would just point to the fact that in Kiss the Girls, I freed all the girls who are being held by a serial killer. I just point to that and say, how could I possibly do this? Look at my film resume. Look at my filmography. Thank you very much.
What a dummy. Good movie, though.
Great movie.
Yeah, good movie.
Better than good. What?
I wouldn't call it great.
Nope. It belongs in the Hall of Very Good. Not great. You're right.
I'll
great
give you
is like Goodfellas, Braveheart, Gladiator, Wizard of Oz. I know it's very controversial. Hall of Very Good.
So here is more of his statement. He says, I admit that I am someone who feels a need to try to make women and men feel appreciated and at ease around me. As part of that, I would often try to joke and compliment women in what I thought was a lighthearted and humorous way. Clearly, I was not always coming across that way I intended, but I also want to be clear, Freeman said. I did not create unsafe work environments. I did not assault women. I did not offer employment or advancement in exchange for sex. Any suggestion that I did so is completely false.
Oh, good for him.
So, yeah, it seems like a reasonable statement.
I don't know if it's true. Right.
But it seems reasonable enough. Who knows? There's a weird, like, this is just stupid how, like, sort of fake stories become stories and then might even become reality. I don't know. Nicki Minaj and Eminem are now linked. And apparently it all started from a social media post where somebody asked her if she was dating Eminem, and she said yes. And then he referred to it at a concert. And then she was like, LOL, we need to get together and make a song together. I need to be on your album. You need to be on mine. And now this might be actually be snowballing into something.
Maybe they're looking at that big butt of yours.
Is Nicki Minaj even still relevant? Isn't it
not
all,
in my world.
Isn't it all like Cardi B now?
Yeah, but Nicki Minaj, hotter.
She's an attractive girl, no doubt. Yeah.
I do think she's got a big old butt.
I can't get past
maybe
all of the old,
at that big butt of yours.
That old, those old media takeout stories, though, where they were sure, like, you know, the headline would be her butt's leaking. You know,
because she got like shady her, injections.
Yeah like her implant popped.
Yeah, implant popped at a concert.
Somehow,
like
I
one ass cheek
headlines.
Is flat.
Yeah, I missed those somehow.
When I see those, it's just hard. You know, I don't know.
Do you think she's attractive?
She's pretty in the face.
Yeah,
She's definitely pretty in the face, Jason. If you saw her,
I've seen her. You think
okay.
I haven't seen her?
Well,
I'm just not attracted to her.
Yeah,
don't like her.
I
like her better than some of the storks you like.
Well, that's fine. I like storks. I like storks. You like fat asses. Okay.
No, I don't love her ass. I really don't. I think her face is pretty, though. I think it is. I don't know. Maybe I'm crazy.
That's just how white folks will do you.
Hugh Grant, apparently, Cakes, just got married again. How many times has that donk been married?
No idea. How 57? Would I know how many times Hugh Grant's been married?
Well, you know he was married to the hottest 50-year-old in the history
Elizabeth
of the
Hurley.
World.
Elizabeth Hurley.
Right.
And he crept on her with that transvestite, right?
Oh, did he?
What was the name?
No, I don't think she... Divine Brown.
Divine Brown.
I don't think, Cakes has that I don't think she was a transvestite.
No, she
wasn't?
She was just a hooker.
Just a full-on hooker.
Yeah.
I think she kind of had... She looked like, maybe?
Right.
Maybe, yeah.
Now, Cakes, JP might be on to something.
I need to look this up.
Look it up. I mean.
Now, hold on. I'm getting all my trans stuff confused. A transvestite is just somebody who dresses as a woman.
Correct.
But has all the parts.
Correct.
That's correct.
Right.
Well, Divine Brown have
I think Divine Brown was a legit woman, but she might have been a transsexual. She might have been.
I
might be
remember,
like a Caitlyn Jenner
story.
I don't know.
By the way, they have Caitlyn Jenner now.
Oh, I know it's her name.
She's Caitlyn's
you
got
might
a new
be a
girlfriend,
real freak.
Right? Caitlyn's got a new girlfriend, like this 20. Is she also a transsexual? I think maybe. But whatever. And Caitlyn's, walking around. How tall is Bruce Jenner?
6'2".
6'2". I mean, this ginormous woman wearing heels, and she's driving around in her purple Ferrari. And it's just, I'm telling you, it's still the most stunning story of my lifetime. And this happens, like, apparently it happens all the time. You know, in a certain percentage.
She's the queen of attention dollars.
I mean, this guy, it's the most stunning story of my lifetime.
I don't even know what to call
well, you gotta
him
call,
or her.
You got to call her her. You got to call.
She identifies as female.
She's a woman. Just call her a woman, whatever.
How many surgeries?
Her name's Caitlyn.
How many surgeries has she had?
I have no idea.
It's elusive. A lot of people want to know if they went, the full commitment. And I think she did.
Well,
put it this way. I saw a picture of her in white pants, and I was looking for something,
mm-hmm.
and I didn't see anything.
You didn't see anything?
No.
Looked like Cakes.
He is getting older.
If she like Cakes.
Were her pants wrinkled like Cakes?
If she ever gets
much
melted,
better pressed.
The ace up her sleeve is the pay-per-view reveal. Because I know that Valdez would fork over 50 bucks.
Oh, man. I'd have to find a legal stream of that. Yeah. So hard.
She ever was low on cash, right?
I'll have a watch party. Hey, I'll serve pigs in a blanket.
Yeah, you'll rent out a Capital One Arena.
Just to
entrepreneur.
Clear it up, according to Wikipedia, Divine Brown, not a transvestite. She made about $1.6 million, though, from the publicity and fallout.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's silly.
I guarantee you she doesn't have one dime of it left.
$1.6 million.
It looks like she bought a home
someone
from
the really? Zipline saying you're thinking of Eddie Murphy.
Okay. Well, Eddie Murphy definitely was involved with the transvestite, yeah. But I think JP was. Listen,
maybe
I was with you with the Hugh
was
Grant.
It, wasn't
maybe
Eddie
it was just a prostitute. She was just a prostitute.
Just a prostitute.
Wasn't Eddie's line? Oh, I was just trying to give her a ride home. I was just
is
trying
that what
to
he
be. Yeah, you did though. I was just being a good Samaritan. She was a woman in need, and I just gave her a ride home. She just happened to be like a transvestite hooker.
Right.
That just happened to be a coincidence.
So they're joning on Prince Harry and Meghan Markle.
Because
they're saying that they are honeymooning in the world's most boring place. They could go anywhere in the world,
Alney?
Right? Not only.
They're an only MD? Why are you joking?
Not in Kings's house.
So much hey, happening over
if,
there.
If the royal couple wants to come hang out? I can show them all the hot spots. Right. I'll take them to Grill Marks.
Right. Green Turtle.
Steak. I'll take them to the Turtle.
Right.
Oh, man, we can have a bang-up time.
Isn't there a dinner theater? Take them to the golf park?
No. How dare you? There's no dinner theater. Dinner theater is like one step above a circus.
Okay, what is it?
It's the only theater.
Okay, sorry.
There's like real plays that go on there. Dinner theater. Get out of here.
That's Nobbs plays.
It's 100%.
Fine.
Instead of Hamilton, it's like, Leonard Hamilton. Yeah, could be.
Harry could shoot threes.
But you live in Gaithersburg. I don't see any silly playhouses in the G-Burg.
They probably don't have one, do they?
Thank you.
Sure.
But we're
a bastion of culture over
most
here.
Boring
where they're
place.
Planning their honeymoon? They're saying the most world's most boring place.
I would have no
Is
idea.
Is it like a cliche honeymoon place? Is that the deal?
It wouldn't be in my cliches. Alberta, Canada. They're saying they're going to stay at a mountain resort, a 6,000 square foot cabin
that's
called
it?
The Royal Retreat.
I bet you it's silly, though.
I bet you it is silly, but who wants to go just sit in the mountains?
Not me.
Not me.
I need a beach.
Beach? I need a white trash beach.
I need a beach.
I mean, they're just going to lock themselves in the cabin and bang for a week.
That's all I can think of. They're just going to go.
Beach.
They can go anywhere in the world. They just want a little privacy. They just want to hit skins.
Right.
You know what? That's baby making. That's what they want to
Could
do.
Be,
she's
yeah.
up there. She's like she's 37, prob- yeah. 38.
She's ready to go.
Knock
she's
one
primed.
Out. Yeah. JP already
Morgan Freeman would definitely call her ripe. 100%. We wouldn't, but he would.
Right. So, I don't know. That's it. Nothing else really that great. Apparently, Ben Simmons broke up with his girlfriend, they say, because she was doing, quote, Kardashian S. So I don't know what that is. I miss
going the girl that he just hit up on direct message.
Tinashe? I don't know how you pronounce her name.
Uh-huh.
Beautiful girl.
That's a good attempt.
But apparently just way too much. She's an R&B chick. Way too much social media.
Here's
posting.
How you pronounce her name. Dime a dozen for Ben Simmons.
Right.
That's well, how you pronounce
girl,
it.
Though. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, but Ben Simmons is, I mean, he can pull the
Philly.
Hottest chick in every city.
And according to AWOD, what
sure
language
does.
Yeah. does Ben Simmons speak?
He speaks Australian.
Did you text the girl?
You realize that people in Australia
you text
speak,
this morning?
You know they speak English, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's Aussie speak, right?
Yeah, they
Down
speak,
under.
They speak with an accent.
They've got a dialect.
You texted her and said, I just talked about you?
Yeah, I gave you a shout out on television.
And what'd she say?
Why can't you
Who
say
says television?
And then what did she say?
First of all,
say?
I say TV.
Right.
No TB.
Yeah. No response?
No text back.
Yeah. No
TB.
Yeah, no text back.
That's what you're saying now?
Yeah.
No
Who
TB?
Says TB?
Kids.
The millennial losers.
You can't say text back.
No text back.
Been talking about game one of the Stanley Cup final throughout the morning. And we booked a few guests and we failed to kind of consider how early it is in Vegas.
Yeah, it's kind of rude that we're
having... So we really need to thank our next guest.
Yes.
John Walton, who joins us on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline. He, of course, is the voice of the Caps on 106.7 The Fan. Good morning, John.
Good morning, guys. I don't think anybody sleeps in Vegas anyway, so it's okay.
Has the sun come up yet? Is it dark outside?
It is a little bit light out, just a little bit. But, yeah, it's, you know, when you got the blackout shades going on, you're never really quite sure in Vegas what time it is anyway.
So well, we were supposed to have Alan May on at 5:20 Vegas time. And
wow, that was a poor choice, boys.
Yes. Hey, blame the producers. So, but thank you very much for getting on.
Yeah, before we delve into last night, John, what is on the itinerary for the off day in Vegas today?
Well, the boys are going to have a practice, I guess it'll be just after lunchtime local, so they'll go for a little bit. I would not anticipate that would be a long skate. They probably have a little bit to work on. After that, I would not be totally out of line for my partner, Ken Sabourin, to find the ponies, and I walk around and just kind of trail and see if there's a table game or two that might get my attention.
Very good.
What time did you get to bed last night?
You know what? We had a little bit of wine after the game. We just came to the hotel bar. We couldn't have been more boring last night, but I think it was just such an emotional game. You look at the road travel that we've had. I mean, go back to March. even from Annapolis forward at the beginning of March. There's a California trip, and then there's a big trip at the end of the year, and then the emotion of the playoffs. So we looked at each other and said, hey, we're in Vegas. What do you want to do? I'm like, nah, you know, glass of wine, we're done.
Right,
we
right.
couldn't have been. It's a little bit on the sad side, us, but we'll try and make up for it today.
Give us an idea of what that arena, what the energy is like in that place.
The energy, I think, and it's funny because we talk about home ice advantage a lot in this postseason, and the Caps have had such a great road record. There aren't too many places where that intimidating home ice atmosphere still exists. There's a few places. I mean, I think Capital One is as intimidating as anything in the Eastern Conference. When the Caps are winning, it's as loud a building as anywhere. But I think Vegas might have everybody beat right now. Just the energy of the city and the glitz and glamour when you walk in. And I'm still kind of warming up to the whole medieval times thing that they do pregame. But, I mean, it's done pretty well in there. In-arena hosts are really good. And they never stop skating at you on the ice. And they never stop coming at you with every stoppage. They're yelling, screaming, hyping them up all the more. It's a Vegas show comes to a hockey game kind of atmosphere. It's crazy. It's great. I think it's a great decision that the NHL came to the desert. It's done really well.
John, I'm sure the players weren't distracted by, you know, everything that went on before the game started, but do you think that just the late start time, the fact that, you know, the coverage starts at 8, I think the puck drop was like around 8:27, 8:30 Eastern time, just that half an hour that those guys are just waiting to get on the ice as everything's unfolding around them might have thrown them off a bit.
I suppose it's a weird game day here too. I think even more than that, and hockey players are creatures of habit. What was 8:30 in your world, what's not working in my favor this morning, we were playing hockey at 5:30 yesterday, and that means no morning skate. So for the guys who are used to getting up, you get on the bus at 10 in the morning, you're skating at 11:30, you come back to the hotel, you eat, you nap, you go back, and it's, you know, 7 o'clock game. It's definitely different. And when they had a few days off and they didn't have the morning skate, that's going to be the case for both teams in Vegas throughout the series. That's why they're going to practice today, because you just don't have that same routine, because for national TV purposes, a little bit different than what you were thinking, but it does change things. It absolutely does. And when they've got to be able to get it going right off the hop, I didn't think the first 10 minutes were very good last night, but I think part of that was just adjusting to a new team, a new series, a big stage. All of that, I think, was a factor.
So what needs to change? Hope he wasn't the best, but I'm not going to pin the loss on him. But he certainly has to get better. They got to get better defensively. There were some clear breakdowns. They didn't clear the puck very well. You know, can't give stupid penalties like Burakovsky did. Got to get a little bit of luck, you know, certainly from the referees. The referees weren't very good. What has to change for the Caps for game two?
That's a pretty good list. Burakovsky's penalty hurt. I mean, that was, it's funny where we were. You know, our angle isn't the best, and you see the hit, and like, it didn't look too bad at first glance, and you see the replay from the other side. Oh, yeah, he tagged him. That's not good. And it turns into a goal, and now you're swimming upstream for the most part the rest of the night. The referees were terrible. I mean, I don't know what's going to happen to Tom Wilson. I had less issue with a hit than I did the lateness of it, and that's probably going to be an issue. But Ryan Reeves cleans out John Carlson and scores, you know, it's a game-changing goal. I mean, that's terrible that they missed
How
that.
Do they miss that? I don't get it.
I don't know. I mean, this is the best stage. I mean, I don't
reviewable?
Usually do.
It, like, when they go back, like, is every goal review? How does that process work?
I wish it was. It's possible that if they want to talk amongst themselves, hey, did we miss something, they can do that. They don't have access to, I mean, that's not a reviewable play on a coach's challenge or anything like that, which is a shame because goal shouldn't have happened. John Carlson's in the right place. And he gets cleaned out with a cross check, and then half a beat later, the puck's going in because Reeves suddenly has all the room in the world. Reeves wanted to talk about Wilson last night. That's fine. They should talk about Ryan Reeves, too. And I think it's a little disappointing that for all the focus on Tom Wilson that he always seems to bring, I mean, Ryan Reeves is a hulking presence, and I love him as a hockey player, but he should have been penalized there, and no one was talking about that. They've got to clean that up, and defensively, to your point, they got to be better in their own end. I think they were caught a little bit off guard how quickly Vegas transitions from zone to zone. They're much faster than Tampa Bay. They play way faster than Tampa Bay. I will say that they were pretty exploitable in their own end, too, and Marc-Andre Fleury wasn't great last night. Let's hope that continues. There's still a lot, I think, to be encouraged by, even though it didn't end up in the win column.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I took from it. If I try to look at it positively, it's like, well, at least we don't have this sort of this notion that this guy's unsolvable, that he's a brick wall. You put up, what, 4 on him pretty easily. You didn't even play your A game, really.
Yeah, and Fleury's record historically, he had a good run against the Caps last year when he was in Pittsburgh, but he's barely won more games in the postseason against the Caps than he's lost. He's not unbeatable, and they have built him up to mythical proportions around here, and he's had a great playoff year. Take nothing away from him, but without question, and he was really fighting it last night. I think he and I think everybody in the building, I think when you get to game one of the Stanley Cup final and you do it in this atmosphere in Vegas, there's nerves on all sides. I think those are going to settle down for Washington. I think they're going to settle down for Vegas. They'll settle down for the goaltenders. I would expect a little bit cleaner game. The thing that floored me, guys, about the game last night was the offense. It was only the 9th time in Game 1 history in the Stanley Cup Final that you ended up getting to double-digit goals when you add it up. I mean, it's 6-4. It's crazy. That caught me by surprise. With Fleury at one end and Holtby at the other, when you're sitting around thinking about how the game's going to go in the pregame, nobody was guessing 6-4. We'll see how the series keeps unfolding from here.
We're joined by John Walton, the voice of the Capitals on 106.7 The Fan. He's presented by Dominion Jewelers, custom engagement rings and jewelry in the heart of Falls Church. They make it beautiful. You make it yours, DominionJewelers.com. Let's talk about Ovi. He was kind of quiet in the game yesterday. He did have an assist. What did you see from the captain?
A little quiet. I think early on, there was, I think the top line as a whole was pretty quiet. What I was encouraged by for the top line was Evgeny Kuznetsov in the third period. I thought he was really starting to find his stride, much like he has the entire postseason. And if that continues, Alex is only going to be the beneficiary of that. I think time and space was tough to find. And we were talking about nerves before. I mean, Alex has never been here either. He's only human. Sometimes it doesn't seem like it with all of the accomplishments that he's had. But, you know, I mean, you're not human if you're not feeling some of the emotion. I mean, hell, I was emotional just calling my first Stanley Cup final game, and I don't have skates on. So I think part of that probably played into it. I think Evgeny really, you know, what he's done this entire postseason is find time and space to be able to make plays. And he was really starting to do that. His point streak now at 11 games, which is incredible in the postseason. I think Alex will certainly raise his game in game two. I don't think he was bad by any means, but I think a little quiet offensively, didn't get as many chances as he would want. And I think with the game here tomorrow night, I would expect that rising tide to take Alex right along with it.
Mm-hmm. Well, the one thing we've learned watching the Caps this postseason, we can't overreact after one loss. Because you know,
absolutely.
So I feel like the Caps will play better defensively. I think Holtby will be better. Like you said, I think Ovi will be better. So let's stay positive.
But
here
you're
for game
expecting
two.
You're expecting a Wilson suspension.
I don't know if it's a suspension, but we'll find out. I mean, I didn't think he was going to get suspended in the Pittsburgh series, and I ended up being wrong about that. So the problem with a hit was, at least in my mind, it was late. I mean, right, Marcia's so comes through. I did like what Tommy said after the game when he said, well, you know, about the hit. Like, listen, he's busy admiring the pass. I was finishing my check.
Right.
The problem was, but I think that's part of the issue. He came late, and they took issue with that. We'll find out later on, I'm sure, and by the time we get to the rink for practice, we'll have a better idea. But given past history, if he's not Tom Wilson, no, absolutely not. But the fact that he is, and he's had a little bit of a checkered postseason, maybe something they take a look at. But hopefully, he's okay.
What about take into account that they missed the Reeves call? So I think that works in his favor.
I hope so. I mean, they're mutually exclusive, but at the same time, I mean, I think you look at the way that it was officiated, and I do the best I can. If it's a really blatant call, so I'll generally say so, but most of the time I try and leave the refs alone. They have a tough job. Mm-hmm. I know a number of them personally. They're great guys, but last night they had a rough night. I mean, missing the Reeves call was the most blatant thing of the night where, you know, it changed the game. I mean, we might still be playing. Who knows? Mm-hmm. It didn't work out that way. You got to have quick throw it in the garbage can and move on, because there's nothing you can do about it. You just got to go out. You win game two. You get home ice, and you come home for Saturday night and rip the roof off the place.
Now, in a situation like this, especially the finals, does the director of officiating or someone from the league, do they have a conference call with the officials and kind of talk about the game, or do they do it amongst themselves? How does that work?
They have a supervisor on site for every playoff series. And when you are at this stage, the whole league is here, and I'm sure that it wasn't a great conversation after the game last night. I mean, not about the Wilson hit, but certainly the Reeves miss was an egregious miss. The Caps are certainly owed moving forward. Those things don't always necessarily even out, but boy, they should, because that was a tough one. Mm-hmm. I mean, the replays on Twitter, a lot of people have had it. I mean, it's his textbook, a cross-check on Carlson. He goes face down into the ice, and a half-beat later, Reeves has the time to be able to get that shot away. And John didn't do anything wrong. He was exactly where he needed to be, and he can't make the play because he was cross-checked. Mm.
It's John Walton, the voice of the Capitals on 106.7 The Fan. Thanks for waking up early this morning with us.
Yeah, appreciate it. Go bang on Alan May's door.
Yeah, I'm going to go bang on Alan's door, no problem, and I'll be betting on red on the roulette table later, boys.
Very nice. Good.
All right, thank you, John. Appreciate it, buddy.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.